Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.
And a very good evening to you. On agenda tonight, we continue the build-up to election 2011 and speak to one of the ministers in Tony Blair's Manx government who'll be seeking re-election when the Isle of Man goes to the polls this September. She's from the constituency of Ramsey. If that doesn't give it away, I don't know what will. She even topped the poll last time out, 2006, at a keenly fought contest where the turnout stood at over 66%. Seeking re-election to the constituency for a further five-year term, Treasury Minister and the Ramsey MHK, Anne Crane. Good evening to you.
Good evening, James.
You've been in MHK since May 2003 now. It was a by-election, I remember. How do you believe you've benefited Ramsey over the past, 8 years?
Well, I think I've worked very hard for Ramsey, and I think that we have been seeing the fruits of those efforts in terms of investment in the town. We've got two new schools. We've got a big extension on the back of the grammar school. We've got a new swimming pool. And on the back of that, other things happening as well. The hotel, the bowling alley. Ramsey is becoming a vibrant place, and I think that we've got an awful lot going for us. We are in the process of regeneration, the regeneration programme at the present time. That's taken a lot of people enthusiastically along with it. And I think things are on the move.
Alan Bell, your political colleague who you have a good working relationship with, of course, has been very key in a lot of those projects you speak about. Sometimes it seems that is the jam spread almost too thinly to get a real flavour because there are so many aspects of the job. How do you spread it out between the minister and the MHK?
Oh, it can be difficult because I often describe the job as being three jobs in one, really. One is the constituency, which is the all-important base that you come from. But there's a parliamentary role and a government role if you choose to take it. So it is difficult to divide your time. But I must say that I enjoy very much my constituency role. I like being out there in the community and taking part in things with members of the public in Ramsey. And I couldn't wish for a better place to represent.
I mean, I know key words that you've said, I think, in the past, energy, enthusiasm, working as part of a team for Ramsey and the Isle of Man. What drives you? What makes you passionate about the island?
Well, I love the Isle of Man. I am Manx.
It's a good start.
It's a good start. My family have been brought up here, and I believe that the Isle of Man offers a huge amount for young people in particular. But there are opportunities for everyone at every age, and it doesn't matter whether that's in whatever form of business, whether you are enjoying your retirement, whether you're going to school, or just our lives in general. In the Isle of Man, there is a quality of life here that I believe surpasses anywhere else.
Is that quality going to be maintained, do you think?
I very much hope so. But I do think that the challenges that we face now are going to have to be met by all of us. It's going to be a time for us all to take some responsibility for our own lives and for looking after those who are less fortunate than ourselves. So we're not going to have the funding, if you like, for the fripperies, the nice to do things that we have enjoyed in the past. We have to focus our attention as we move ahead in this next 5 years on providing frontline services, particularly to the elderly, those who are most vulnerable, and the young, because we have a responsibility to care for the elderly. We also have a big responsibility to bring the young through in a caring way so that they will assist us as we move forward and become the providers for the future.
Well, we'll speak a bit later about some of those challenges there. I mean, hearing you now, you're full of enthusiasm, you're bubbling with that. So why are if they're all like that, why are there so few women in politics?
I don't think that politics is something that women naturally go to. It is quite an aggressive environment in which to be in.
Does a woman's touch make a difference then?
I think that there are all kinds of MHKs, but I think that it doesn't do any harm to bring a bit of female thinking to the table now and again. But having said that, I think that my male colleagues are very caring individuals, and I would not wish to be here on any sort of gender platform at all, because we don't see ourselves in whatever gender we may be, but as members of the House of Keys.
Of course, government, no sooner had Tony Brown been elected Chief Minister last time, you were given the education portfolio and then last year Treasury Minister. How well do you think the present administration's handled the major challenges of the past 5 years? Because there has been some.
Yes, I think actually that I'm a bit tired of hearing what an awful government the last 5 years has produced. I think that to an extent, we've actually therefore done a blooming good job, because people underestimate what challenges this government have had to face. We've had the KSF, we've had the revisitation of our VAT sharing arrangement, and these have been major issues. And it's been an unprecedented 5 years, as history will tell. And I think therefore that if we have come out of this without wringing our hands in angst, then I think we've done very well. We've met the challenges head on, and those in doing so, we've made sure that we've been able to try and protect those people I mentioned earlier.
Are the next 5 years going to be tougher than the previous five?
Yes, I think they will be, because what we've now got is a greater reduction in our revenue, less money to spend to go around, and all of the strategy that's been put in place to readjust our government balance and so on is going to have to be revisited, and we're going to have to pull in our belts even tighter.
You mentioned KSF collapse, you mentioned the VAT, the revenue sharing agreement. Tell me, during the reciprocal health agreement campaign, what exactly did government try and do to save it?
Well, I know that government has been much maligned for its actions through the reciprocal health agreement, but in fact they were working at political level behind the scenes, albeit that might have appeared to be too quietly for some people. But it was a combined effort. There was no doubt that the United Kingdom government were inclined to withdraw from that agreement, and that our government fought very hard to try and retain it. Admittedly, there was an election looming in the UK, and I think that helped us enormously to be able to turn the tide on the opinion of the UK MPs. I don't actually think that we would be able to do that now. So I'm thankful that it really doesn't matter who achieved it, government, public opinion or whoever. We got there, we got the right result, and we're able to move forward.
Well, when you say you don't think we'll be able to do it now, what are we, 16 months on from when that announcement was made, I think March last year?
Yes.
What's the difference? Obviously, there's a coalition now. It was still Labour then.
Yeah, the difference.
Is that the key?
Yes, that is the key. But can I just compare for a moment? The reciprocal health arrangement that we had was something that affected UK and Isle of Man. The situation in the UK with the change of government is such now that they are grappling for every pound that they can find, and they would not be so receptive to the arrangement that we currently have.
Are they harder to negotiate with, do you think?
They are very hard to negotiate with, and I think that it would be even more difficult at this point to be able to have achieved that continuance of the agreement.
And harder to negotiate with on all levels, presumably?
Yes, indeed, as I've just found with the VAT revenue sharing arrangement.
Obviously, the ties in nicely today's announcement, the Chief Minister's retiring, Tony Brown. The next Chief Minister's going to need strong leadership, strong negotiating skills. You've been strongly tipped by some as a potential successor for some time now, suggesting perhaps you're being groomed in that direction. Now you're the Treasury Minister. Is it something that would interest you, the Chief Minister?
I've never shirked any responsibilities that have been put my way. I've welcomed them and I've taken them on with robust determination.
So if you offered, would your political ambition stretch that far?
If I was asked to undertake that role, then I would undertake it. But I would have to say that is not something that I am seeking. What we've got is an election in September. It will be after that election for Tynwald as a whole to decide who it is that they wish to have lead them. And I actually think that it will be very much more a consensus of agreement that will bring forward a Chief Minister, because when we come back together again, if I am fortunate enough to be re-elected, it will be a case of who is best suited to do what job.
Obviously, your sister was appointed President of Tynwald a couple of weeks ago. Could you have two members of the same family in such positions, in theory, or shouldn't it matter in your view?
Well, it shouldn't matter, but I dare say that there is a public perception about that. But in fact, I think we need to look coldly at the fact that government is separate from parliament. And that I know that does become muddled in some people's thinking, but the two don't mix. And in fact, of course, I have worked with Clare on different levels throughout the last 8 years that I've been in the House of Keys, and herself in Legislative Council and Keys for very much longer. So there is that track record of us having been in Parliament together. We don't cross swords, we don't cross paths very often, to be truthful. So I don't think it should have any influence on that.
In terms of the Chief Minister, do you believe, I mean, I think we've got halfway results from a political survey we're in the middle of at the moment. It suggests the majority of the public want to know who'll stand as Chief Minister before an election. A few government ministers, I know, publicly agree with that too. What's your stance?
I think so long as you've got a candidate who indicates their willingness to take on whatever role is asked of them, then that's a clear indication that they will or they won't. Unfortunately, the public don't have that say overall as to who will be their Chief Minister, but they need to elect the people who are going to be of the right calibre to be able to carry out those roles.
You say unfortunate, so you're in favour of a publicly elected Chief Minister, is that fair to say?
Probably not, actually. No, maybe unfortunate was a wrong word to use. I think that you place your vote in your member, and that it is our responsibility to make those judgments on your behalf. What I think is quite interesting is that people outside don't see the mechanics and the working of within Tynwald. Probably you do yourself, because you're there and you witness Tynwald as it progresses in the House of Keys and so on. When you are on the inside, you get a much clearer view of who is doing what, who is pulling their weight, who is really contributing to the overall government of the Isle of Man, and who we are carrying.
Shouldn't constituents know in advance, because they may be considering voting for someone, but they might not want to elect them if they're interested in becoming Chief Minister, because it could take them away from their constituency? Can you see that argument?
I can, but I think that that doesn't apply any more to Chief Minister than it does to ministers. And I think what we've got to remember here is that we're electing an island national government, not a local government. And if you want people to try and do their best for you at all levels, as I've just explained, then you just need to pick the person who has the right ability and the preparedness to work their socks off, both for the constituency and the island as a whole.
So presumably your view about Legislative Council is similar to Chief Minister. You're opposed to publicly elected members.
I understand the argument for publicly elected members, particularly when we now have so many members who are coming in from outside who haven't had any experience in the House.
That never used to be the case, really, did it?
It didn't used to happen very often, but it's happened more and more over the last few years. So I can understand that. At the present time, my view is still that we should elect members of the Legislative Council from the House of Keys up. If that's not possible, then we have to elect them from directly from outside. But I do believe that we are elected to take that responsibility.
So that the home, if you like, the upper chamber for the distinguished parliamentarian, as it used to be seen by many, sort of the final few years of their political life, some of your colleagues, past and present, basically have messed up the system in that sense, because it's gone completely out of the window now, hasn't it?
Well, I think
they say there's a fault with publicly elected Legislative Council. They have created it in some ways.
Yes, in some ways, because our members haven't wanted to go up to Legislative Council. But I think that it's not something that I would particularly wish to do. So I can understand that. They see themselves as Keys members through and through, and they don't wish to take a role in Legislative Council, which is, after all, a revisionary chamber. And I think that the House of Keys is seen very much more as the engine of legislation. And many of us enjoy the cut and thrust of being in the House of Keys.
So will the next election be decided on local or national issues, do you think, or perhaps a bit of a combination?
I'm sure it will be a combination of both, actually. But I think local issues are obviously very important to people. They want to know that things are going to develop in their constituency. I know in Ramsey we have a great many issues, particularly particularly to do with the retail sector that we want to try and get sorted out. I'm aware of those local issues, and I want to be able to fight for them and on the behalf of the people of Ramsey. But ultimately, we have a very big responsibility to make sure that the island thrives as it goes forward. We have to be clear that we are going to focus on economic development for the island as we progress, because we have taken a very hard hit, and there is no doubt at all. We now have to really focus our attention in on doing our very best to work for the island. We can't carry dead weight anymore, and that applies right across every sector. It's going to apply in government, where we have a number of people I suspect that we're going to have to lose.
Are we over-governed?
We are probably over-governed, yes. But
we're talking civil servants here as opposed to members of parliament.
No, I think when you were talking about over-governed, I think that means
local authorities
as well, as government. But I know that there is, and local authorities don't really cost an awful lot of money. But I know that people really feel attached to their local authorities. So I think that that isn't something that we should be trying to disturb at this present time. But I do think that we have to look at the scope of government. We have to try and think now as to what services should we be delivering, what are the essential services that we should be delivering, and what are the services that are the nice to do, because we cannot afford to move forward doing both, I feel. One of the things that concerns me is the reluctance on the part of the unions to understand that we are going to have to lose staffing from government. They seem to take the approach that government won't be moving in that direction in the future. As far as
that's unrealistic, isn't it, given the announcement a few weeks ago?
Yes, I'm afraid that it is unrealistic. I think that we will have to. And what concerns me is, in light of the arbitration that has just come forward in respect of government salaries, that we cannot afford that. And if we cannot afford that within the department's budgets, staff salary budgets themselves, that means that there will have to be some redundancies.
We talk about over-governed here. Are members, do you think, were there going to be savage cuts before the announcement of a fortnight ago? Do you think some departments were waiting, some members were waiting until hopefully for them they'd got re-elected again and they'd have wielded the axe, as it were? Department of Community, Culture and Leisure is one example. They've had to make savings already, as all departments have. They've done it more publicly. They bit the bullet before the election.
Yes, I think that we knew what was coming, but we didn't know the amount.
Extent, yeah.
Yes. And so when you say, should departments have been making more radical changes? I think that we were working within the 5-year readjustment that we had set in train anyway. And we have made great progress within that in the first 2 years. So what we do now is going to result in a completely different way of thinking, I'm afraid, because we are looking at a reduction of a size that is going to have an impact on the lives of all of us across the island. So I wouldn't like to term them savage cuts. Government will do their very best not to make them felt by members of the public as far as possible. But there has to be a realism about what we're trying to do here, and that we must live within our means.
Well, will government potentially have to raise money by, fine money by raising existing taxes, introducing new taxes, new charges?
It's too early to say at this time, but we will have to re-examine all of those things. One thing that we do recognise is that we do not want to alter our corporate tax regime, because we need to remain competitive against our fellow other jurisdictions.
Now, I mean, how can you, do you see it as it stands now, maintain the economy, the growth in the economy we've enjoyed for, 25 years plus now?
I think one of the things that we mustn't lose sight of is the financial services and banking that have served the Isle of Man so well. And the fact is that we've been able to to do that because we've been able to develop an expertise in those areas. And so other sectors have been able to grow or come here and grow on the back of that expertise. And it's developing those niche markets, the professionalism of the services that we're able to deliver, and having that welcome on the mat for people coming to the island. I think it's we can't necessarily produce the service any cheaper than anywhere else, and I wouldn't really wish to do so. But what we can do is provide a very professional, expert service when people are coming here to do business.
I know the UK government, there was a statement in the Commons last week, the UK Treasury welcoming, it said, recognition by the Manx government that the previous revenue sharing formula was not sustainable. A new formula has been agreed following negotiations. Is that an acceptance on our part that we received too much, that we had it too good for too long?
No, I don't think so.
What does that mean then?
What it means is that as far as they were concerned, when they visited us in 2009, they entered into an agreement with us which they saw was not sustainable. They felt that we were doing too well out of that agreement and revisited it. They never really went away in those 2 years.
Did we shout out from the rooftops about our reserves too much, do you think?
Our reserves have always been a thorn in the side for the UK government because, of course, they don't have reserves and we've hard-earned our reserves. So that's been a situation that has been ever-present. But I think what we need to do when we're looking at this whole business about the readjustment that has been made, we still have, from that arrangement, £272 million coming to us this year. So this is still a substantial amount of money that we've been able to preserve and bring into the island. It's an agreement that we would be foolish to walk away from.
I know you've ruled abrogation out of the question.
I have, personally.
Most of the government have.
And Council of Ministers has, because it's not something that I think that we can enter into, because we would be faced with restrictions on our movement, customs and excise, our ability to trade through the UK into the EU, and all of those things. Our community has grown up within the regime of the being a VAT sharing arrangement, and you know, we do continue to do well out of that, and I think we shouldn't overlook that fact when we're considering this problem.
How worried are you about energy prices? Could they alone spark another recession?
Well, we haven't been in recession, of course.
We haven't, I should say, but obviously the UK has.
Yes, energy prices are a concern for everybody, particularly so on the island. But I think what we've got here is a situation that we are beyond being able to influence to a large extent, because it's... And I have to say that about so many things about the island and the financial crisis that we have been undergoing or going through at the present time. It's not what we do, it's what they're doing out there and how those things are influencing and affecting us in the island. So energy prices is a hard one to swallow. Maybe we do have to be looking at offshore wind farms. That's certainly something I think that we will need to consider in the next administration. And though that will not be palatable to some people, but I think we have to consider those things and have that debate.
Moving just back from national to local, we could talk for half an hour about local issues, but is Ramsay Cottage Hospital still a political football, or has time moved on now? Because obviously that was, I know you said last time you were confident that it would be resolved in the build-up to the last election. You weren't the only one. Is that gone now?
I believe that the concerns over the med service has gone now. In fact, what we've got at Ramsay Cottage Hospital is a wonderful development at the moment.
But is 24-hour cover gone forever?
Yes, I believe that.
Why? Is that on the rule of the GPs?
No, it's on the fact that in order to be able to provide that, you need to have the nursing practitioners who are available. They are in shortage, and I think that the whole situation where that business has moved to Douglas has settled, if you like. It will obviously always have some impact on someone, but I think by and large I believe it's working well, and I certainly haven't had any complaints over the last few years. Where we are benefiting in Ramsey is that we've been left a huge sum of money by the late Mr. Martin, and we're developing the wards in Ramsey, which will become the Martin Ward. That will mean on the back of that that we've got a ward for our day hospital. We'll be able to have chiropody services there, wound dressing there. And one of the things that I've been most keen about is the development of a renal dialysis unit, which I very much welcome. And so things are really moving forward. Ramsey Cottage Hospital has a very secure place in our community.
And will that remain so?
That will remain so. And in fact, it's acting very much now as a satellite to Nobles. And many people will find that they're coming to Ramsey to receive treatment that they would otherwise have received elsewhere.
Just a couple of points before we come to the end of the programme. I know you've always championed education and young people in many ways, family matters as well. You and education were a perfect fit. How do you appeal to young voters who are hoping to get to the polls in September?
I think that we need to let them know that their vote counts. It's their future that they're voting for.
Because I know you were hesitant. You voted against giving 16-year-olds the vote. Simply, you felt their youth was being taken away too quickly.
Yes. Well, not only that. I think as long as we don't treat youth the same in the judicial sense under 18, then I didn't think that they should have the vote necessarily. But I would agree that I have been proven wrong in many cases. We have very many 16 to 18 year olds who wish to express their vote, and I welcome that. I think that we need to value our young people, give them a chance to be young people without thrusting adult responsibilities on them. But for those young people who wish to take part in the election process, it's your vote, it's your future, and I think that they ought to come along and have a say.
And just finally, Mrs. Crane, why should the people of Ramsey invest their vote in you on September the 29th?
I'm a full-time MHK. I give full-time commitment both to Ramsey and the Isle of Man, and I hope that people will recognise that and continue to support me to support them.
Anne Crane, thank you very much for your time this evening.
Thank you.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio.